Exodus 32,
from verse 7 to verse 14. I think today we will be running off the soft theme on intercession. Exodus 32, from 7 to 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and says unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Actually, this morning, what we just want to do is to thank God for intercession, thank God for intercessors, to encourage us to recognize that we are alive today, we are standing today, in spite of all the things that we have done that we know were wrong, that actually by now we should have been obliterated from the face of the earth. It's because of this great ministry of intercession that God has created, and for the intercessors God has enabled to even see the things that he's doing. This morning we just want to thank God for intercessors. We may not be intercessors, but we need to thank God that he gave intercessors to the body of Christ. God had appointed Moses a leader, and he had made up his mind that he wasn't going to do anything against Israel unless he conferred first with the leader. So we also want to thank God for leaders who put themselves in the place of intercession. Can you imagine if Moses had been like Eli, Israel would have gone? If God gives us spiritual leaders who are like Eli, there probably wouldn't be any church standing at all. Because quite frankly, guarantee you one thing, congregations can be very, very difficult to head. Sometimes there's a temptation, you know, to just wonder if God will make you the kind of offer that he made to Moses. When he said to Moses, let me destroy this people, I will make you a great nation. And I know many pastors who will say, Father, thank you very much. Just destroy them, save them, and destroy them. And let that happen. But we thank God for leaders who, in spite of the horror that is in the churches, are interceding for the congregation. We thank God for God's nature. In Amos 3:7, the Bible says, surely the sovereign God will do nothing except it best reveal it to somebody. Thank God for the nature of God that reveals to people. And thank God that God is revealing things to intercessors. Imagine if God revealed to you, or revealed something that he would have done to you to a small boy like Samuel, who did not yet know God, who did not yet understand ministry, who did not understand intercession, like many people today. They catch a revelation and they run wild. Ah, that pastor is a horrible pastor. If you know what God has shown me about that pastor, pray for the pastor. Imagine if the people that God is revealing us to are people like Jonah, people that we have offended, who would say, right on, Lord, just destroy them. In fact, he has been a wicked man. That's why we need to thank God that our matters are being discussed with people who are interceding on our behalf. We need to thank God for his mercy that is renewed every morning. In Lamentations chapter 3, like I said, it's an exhortation, so we won't be opening scriptures that much. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his faithfulness. thank God for His great compassion. If God were not merciful, He would not have told Moses about what Israel were doing. He would have just, and nobody can question Him. You know God, nobody can query Him. He could have destroyed the Nebuchadnezzar, He did not. But then Nebuchadnezzar got out of that, He could not but thank God. And say, indeed, this God, there's nobody that can stop Him from doing what He wants to do. He does pleases in the course of the heavens. And no one can stay His hand. No one can query Him. No one can question Him. Why are you doing what you are? The God of His mercy has purposed that men who are intercessors, men who can do intercede for others, can stay His hands from carrying out His justice. We thank God. I think it's in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, where God said, you sons of Jacob, if I were not a merciful God, you will be consumed. Says of my mercy that you are not consumed. That by now, I would have destroyed all of you. And quite frankly, when we look around, when we look even at our own lives, it's of the mercy of God that we are not destroyed, that we are not consumed. You know, there are times when things are so hard, things are so tough, we actually turn against God. We begin to question, what is this thing about? Since I came back, I've not seen anything happen. Instead, everybody is fighting me. Look, are you sure that I want to continue with this? But you know, God in His mercy will come and pat us on the head. It's because you don't understand. Don't worry, relax. Many times we have scuffled His plans, but because of the merciful God, He overlooks so many things. Brethren, when we get to heaven, I'm sure we will get to heaven. As I said, when we get to heaven, and we begin to see many things that God just overlooked, we will be shocked. We'll be shocked. You know, there are some men, you will do something, you think they are going to kill you, and then they come, will just smile and walk away. Then you do something that you think, this one is fine. That's the one the man will sit down on, and you want to walk out of it, that's how God is. Some things that will say, hey, we are dead, you just walk away. Some things that you think, is a small thing, that's the one you will hear Him hammering on every day. You want, look, I've done more, I've done worse things, and I'm not hearing, no, this one is important. A friend of mine, I was having a conversation with him. He's not born again, he's a nominal Christian. And he made a comment that he has not left Terry rocks, not the former, pebbles, the forefest. That you and I will have taken the things that matter to God. And yet, even on those matters, He's merciful. He's merciful. We need to thank God for His mercy. We need to thank God for the ministry of intercessors, for the ministry of intercessors who will stand in the gap until God changes. I want to recall at this time the ministry of Abraham when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. How he stood with God and kept changing the terms. He kept changing the terms from 50 to 45, to 40 to 30, 20 to 10. And God kept being patient, listening to him and telling him, if I find 40, I will leave it. If I find 30, I will leave it. If I find 20, if I find 10, I will leave it. Thank God for people who will stand there and continue to press and continue to press for a firm result, unlike Lot, who was vexed, and that was all. As far as God was concerned, his vexation was basically, these people are not allowing me to do what I'm doing. I'm not living in peace. Things are not working well for us. What kind of nation is this? Why is everything going upside down? Vexed in the spirit. But never once is the voice to intercede. Let's thank God for Abraham. Let's thank God for others such like who are standing in the gap for this country. You know, when I look at Nigeria, a lot of times it's a wonder that Nigeria is this. Because I look at other African nations. In Rwanda, they only have the two tribes, the Hutus and the what's the other group, the Tutsis and the Hutus. That's just two groups, and the nation went up. Do you know how many groups we have in this country? All we need to do is just put a knife to one another, and there will be a Nigeria to disintegrate. The things that happen. But as it happened in other countries, that put those nations in place, worse things have happened in Nigeria. Imagine when Abiola died, it was enough to bring Nigeria down. Nigeria's history. We need to thank God for those few men. We don't know them, but when we get to them, we will see them. Their names, they may not even be running any church. They may just be sitting in a bedroom there. They may not have the ministry to their names. They may be cleaners in some offices. They may be doing the most menial of jobs. But in with God, thank God for such men who are standing before God day and night, ensuring that the Church of God remains firm in Nigeria, that the nation of Nigeria remains firm, that the nations of the world are standing, lest God will destroy. All you need to do is listen to the news, read the papers, look at what happened, 8.8 magnitude. And then later they said it was not even the earthquake that destroyed it. It was the tsunami that came out that washed an entire city. The second largest city in Chile, gone. Look at Uganda, that's two months now. And over 500 or how many thousand people, they can't even find the bodies. They were digging with holes. Can't find any natural disaster. Somebody said, you can't have natural disaster like him. If it happens in Nigeria, they're gone. I mean, they're just gone. They're gone. Brethren, there's cause to thank God for his blessings. Cause to thank God for his blessings. I know not many of us understand the Haitian problem, but Haiti is a very, very dark nation. I mean, dark. In every realm. That's why the earthquake, whatever it is, because there's nothing. Nigeria has generated even to that level now. Those days in Haiti, you don't have electricity. Electricity 2-3 hours a day. And that's it. Sometimes it comes at 3 a.m. You will have to wake up and do whatever you need to do. Because 2-3 hours after, it's gone. And you can go for 2-3 days. No water. So you have to get your water. Those who have houses, they have underground tanks. It's rainwater to deny it. So the rainwater comes and enters into the ground and they leave it there. That's what they use. So it's not as if you can dig a well as we do here in a big borehole and the water comes out. No way. People live in homes that are built with cardboards. They take their baths in gutters. That's how it happens. We have not degenerated that level yet. We need to thank God. We are not better than those people. We are not better than them. Not in the slightest. If I look at some of the things that we have done, we're not better than them. Where policemen are killing people just anyhow, both the innocent. Their policemen will see that you have money, they stop and shoot you and take the money and share it amongst themselves. And your guards know they walk away. Isn't it a wonder that God has not destroyed them? Where the minister of police affairs chastises the police eyes, and the police eyes have the temerity to say that his men are trying. I understand that. Where ministers do their views no wrong, and you can openly say that we are trying. Minister doesn't understand the problems. There are some things that happen sometimes. I really wonder why God does not do something. But we thank God for those who are interceding. We need to thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is not just here to lead and to guide us and to direct, but to intercede for us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. It says, "Howbeit that we know not how to pray." We don't even know what to ask for. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in the search of the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of even when there is no intercessor, God has kept the Holy Spirit here on earth to intercede. Do you know how many times the Holy Spirit has woken us up to pray? So, Lord, I'm tired and you are sleeping. Meanwhile, it is because the devil's hand is on your throat, squeezing you to death. You are there and I'm so tired. At those times, the Holy Spirit is the one who's praying. He wakes somebody else up or quickens somebody else in another nation where they are not sleeping. So speaking to the man is wondering, what am I praying for? And as he views himself, the Holy Spirit takes over and begins to make intercession through that person. I remember one night, very many years ago, I was sleeping. Suddenly I woke up. And I said, begin to pray. I began to pray and I was praying until I was tired. He said, no, continue to pray. He said, I'm tired. It's okay, go and wake somebody up and let the person join you. So I woke someone up. Said, please join me in this prayer. I will continue to pray. It was a tough one. We prayed for another 1 hour or so. As we're running up the prayer, the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, look at the carpet. I looked at the carpet. He asked, he said, do you understand the pattern? I said, I don't. He said, good. Now you don't have to understand what you have done. And especially you have woken up, you ask you the same question. Tell this person what I said. He said, okay. And as soon as we finished praying, the person came and said, Ray, what were we praying for? I looked at the pattern of the carpet. Look at the pattern. Do you understand? I thought that I said, good, bless my spirit. He helps us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Many of us don't know that if the Spirit of God should lead any one of us, we are dead men. The devil doesn't need more than 1 second. I guarantee you that doesn't more than 1 second. Man of God shared once how one day he was at home, resting, enjoying himself. Suddenly he began to throw up uncontrollably. Almost every second he will be going to the bathroom, he will throw up, he will poop, he will ask, is this cholera? He said, well, what is going on? And then he began to pray. In fact, he said, because he was going to come. So he just began to ask God for mercy. Please receive me. And then God opened his eyes. And what did he see? He saw that while he was resting on his settee, a demon came and kissed him. That was it. A demon just came and kissed him. So God told him, you see what happens? If I leave you for 1 second, you are dead. I just wanted you to understand what it means to have divine presence. Brethren, you need to thank God for this. If the Holy Spirit should just turn you back, that, do you know that's all the devil is looking for? The devil doesn't, he knows they can't fight God. So he tempts us to do something that will make God turn his back. Because all he needs is that momentary turning. That's all. And we are finished. We need to thank God for the Holy Spirit's role of the perception, who is not only pleading for us with God, but pleading with us to repent, to turn, to change. Let's look at Samson. Look at what happened. He woke up and said, I will do as I wish. I will shake and reform. He thought he was a shake. The Bible says he did not know that the Holy Spirit had left. The enemies grabbed him. The first thing they did was to pluck out his eyes. I tell you, if the devil has the opportunity, you'll be the one sitting down. I'm telling you, we need to thank God for the Holy Spirit that he has left behind. We also need to thank God for our Lord Jesus, who even though he has paid the price for sin, has been raised up, is supposed to be in heaven and enjoying himself. The Bible says while he's there, he's not having fun. What is he doing? He's interceding for you and I. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Let me take it from 24. But this man, because he continued ever, have an unchangeable mystery. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for many of us. We finish our assignment, we go and sit down in one place, say we are on leave. I don't want to think about church. No, please. Give me TV, give me bottles of wine, packets of juice, groundnut, crisps, another thing. Everybody else go. Then we sit down, we cross our legs, and we begin to change channels, and we are watching TV. Say, it was a wonderful program, let me rest. But not with our Lord Jesus. He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of power. Where should he enjoy? Like, is that what he's doing? No. He is making for you and I. He's our everlasting high priest, taking our matter before God. There are many times that the enemy would have actually destroyed us. The enemy would have said that, this one, there is no way. There is no God, there is no way. You are a God of justice. This fellow, he needs to go. And that's what God has to do. What before God ever gets up, the Lord knows that I died for him. That's my God. To show that I died. And don't you remember the story in Zechariah, I think Zechariah chapter 3, of the high priest of his days. Joshua the high priest. I think it's Zechariah chapter 3. Yes, Zechariah chapter 3. Let's read it from verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. How can Satan be standing at your right hand? The hand of power. The hand that enables you to do all the things that you need to do. We're resisting him, we're standing him from being able to operate in the office of the high priest. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. Which Lord said unto Satan? Exactly. Well, the Lord Jesus that was saying to Satan, the Lord God rebuked you. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with chains of raiment. And I said, let them put a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Praise the name of the Lord. As far as the devil was concerned, Joshua's reign as high priest was over. In fact, it was for him to be destroyed. But the Lord Jesus, even before his incarnation, was there, withstanding Satan, who was withstanding the high priest. And you and I are priests unto God. There are many times when the devil will tell God, no, 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 no. Look at him. He's already filled with sin. Let's destroy him. That's all that is fit for. The Lord Jesus will stand. Say, when I can't, I pay the price. Do you know that our acts
our simple, what we call simple acts of disobedience,
the devil stands there and negotiates.
Remember what happened in the book of Job? Bible says that the angels came to give their report, and as they were giving the report, they said, thank you. Sir, what are you doing here? Sir, if you tell you that, well, if I do, I'm doing my own work. The angels are bringing their report, I'm also taking my report. What was his own report?
An evil.
Again, the children of God.
And then God said to him, have you considered Job?
Say, Job. You think Job is afraid of you for nothing? You have filled the head around him. You protected him. Remove the head and let's see what will happen. He will curse you. As if God did not know that Job will come. God knew that Job will come.
Then he said, okay, let's give it a shot. Brethren, I don't think there are many of us who can stand that test that Job will
come. Tell us that when God wants to say, okay, let the devil test. Let Job say, amen. I know him. He will fail. Let us disgrace ourselves.
He will fail. He will miss it. Please. Leave him alone.
Have you forgotten that day that we woke him up to preach for himself? How he complained. For 1 week he complained.
Leave him alone.
He will fail the test. I beg you. Interceding for you.
We need to thank God for that wonderful ministry that he has put in place.
Oh Lord. Brethren, you know, it's one thing. I've discovered that it's one thing for people to intercede. It's another thing for God to listen. And there are examples in the Bible. In the book of Jeremiah, 3 times. God said, don't pray to me about this. Don't intercede for them. Jeremiah 7:16. Jeremiah 7:16. Therefore pray not thou for these people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. And then if you go to chapter 11 of Jeremiah 14, again God says to him, therefore pray not thou for these people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Then you go to Jeremiah 14:11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for these people, for their
tangle on our old man is listening to us.
He may not have been willing to listen to men, but he cannot but listen to his beloved son, who paid the ultimate price for you and me. That's why Jesus is the greatest intercessor. Because his credit with God is enormous. It can never be depleted. Some of us can deplete our credit with God, but not the Lord Jesus. The price that he paid is still available for as many that are yet to come. Even those who are yet to be born, that price is still available for them. So his credit is always strong with God.
Thank God he's an intercessor. Thank God he's there interceding for you and I.
Thank God we have such a high priest. The Bible says, who is not ashamed to be called our brother. Unlike many of us who are ashamed of fellow Christians who are misbehaving. And we see them misbehaving, we don't know them. We're wearing the pin of one church who do a picture and practice something to cover it so that they won't recognize us as Christians. Where they are saying, and look at that one, saying Christians. But I won't have this. The Lord himself is not ashamed to be called our brother. Even when shame still stands and says, brother, this morning, that's all we want to do. This morning, let's spend some time thanking God that he created this ministry of intercession, that he has raised men up on earth to intercede for other men, and that where those ones fail, his spirit is there to do the work. And even when men are unwilling to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through them, his beloved son is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for the saints. Let's go before the Lord this morning and just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Because you and I would have been lost and forgotten, gone forever, had he not put in place this thing called intercession, this ministry of intercession. Had he not raised men to intercede on our behalf. We need to thank God. For those few men and women, we don't know them. We don't know them. But they are interceding. It is because of their intercession that many of us are born again today. Because had they not been praying, we would never have been saved. It is because they committed themselves to prayer and bring us into the kingdom. Thank God for such men and women who would dedicate their lives not for vain glory, not because they want to make money, not because they want a title, or a position, or are looking for a ministry, they're just because they want to serve their God, because they love their God. And they interceded for us, even as unbelievers, and they keep still interceding for the unbeliever. They keep interceding for those of us who are already saved, pleading with God that will remain standing. Let's thank God that even when men fail, when men are faint, the Spirit of God is available, and it quickens other men, wakes them up, quickens them in their various assignments, and says, "Don't worry, all I want is that you are open to me, and I will pray through you for brother so and so, for sister so and so." They are going through difficult times. They are facing challenges that will make them derail if somebody does not pray for them. I just need you to cooperate. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who finds the right people to pray through. And he prays through, and we are standing. We remain standing, not because of anything that we have done, but because of God that shows mercy. Because of God that is compassionate. Let's thank God for the fact that it has pleased him that he will do nothing except he first reveal it to someone. That he's revealing it to people who will take up the gauntlet and begin to plead with God on our behalf. Let's thank God, brethren, that after the Lord Jesus has finished his assignment here on earth, he still continues in the role of high priest, interceding for you and I in heaven. That when men don't even know what is happening, when it is only the devil coming to report us before God, and there is so much to report us against, to report us to God, when he's there to give his evil report to God, our Lord, our Master, is in heaven, making intercession for us, pleading with God, praying that, "No, I died for this one. Let him not be lost. I know what he has done is wrong. Then give me an opportunity. Let me speak to him by your Spirit. He will repent. He will change. Give him another opportunity. Give him another chance. He will change. He will be transformed in time. Allow the word. Just allow him some time. We will teach him some more. He will learn one or two things, and he will be able to repent. I will come back to you." Let's thank God for such wonderful opportunities that he has given, that you and I might remain in salvation, that we will not be cast away. What a wonderful God that we serve. What a glorious God that we have been called to worship. Not a God like the other gods, who are so determined to destroy. Our God says he has no pleasure in the death of one sinner. He has no pleasure. And he makes provision that men will not die. Day in, day out, hour after hour, many of us live in sin. Deliberate things for that matter. Things that have been warned against. We keep acting out those things. But God is there, reporting us to somebody. Say, "Look at that one. Look at this fellow playing with fire. I'm going to destroy this fellow in a moment." And the fellow will fall down and say, "Oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on that brother. I don't know him, but have mercy on him. I could have been like him if not for your grace. Supply him with the grace and he will change. Supply her with the grace and she will change. Help her." People are praying for us, brethren. People are interceding for us. Whilst we are feasting, they are fasting. Whilst we are there rejoicing, they are mourning for our sins. Crying to God, begging for us. Thank God for intercession. Thank God for intercessors. And as we are thanking God for this ministry and for those who are ministers of intercessors, I also want us to pray to God and say, "Father, there's nothing we can pay for this, but help us to also be intercessors. That we also can intercede for others. Help us to be able to pray for others, to be able to intercede for others. Help us. Make us intercessors, Almighty and Everlasting God. Men and women who you can talk to about sin in people's lives, and who will grovel on the ground and mourn for their sins. Make us intercessors. Make us intercessors. We may have failed you in time past, but Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace. We need your grace. We need your grace. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit here, your work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving your work in my life is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit there. Your work in my life is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us Jesus and leaving your Spirit in your work in my life. It's done. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, living your Spirit in your work in my life. It's done. Hallelujah. For giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit in your work in our lives is done.
Let's stand to our feet.
Spirit in your work in our life is done.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son Jesus. Not just to save our souls, but even hereafter, making intercessions for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have left behind, and who makes intercessions for us.
until your work in each of our lives is done. Thank you, faithful God.
Faithful God. Faithful God. You lifted me. You uphold my cause. You wipe my tears. You give me joy. You were always there. You're a faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. You lifted me. You uphold my cause. You wipe my tears. You give me joy. You're always there. You're a faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God, you lifted me, you uphold my cause, you wipe my tears, you give me joy, you are always there, you're a faithful God.
Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Luke 13, from verse 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Brethren, we don't have 10 heads. We're not better than other people. We're not praying more than other people. We're not fasting more than other people. We're not more spiritual than other people. And yet, we are standing. Many of us still have jobs. Many of us, in spite of the fact that we have no jobs, are still surviving. We are still breathing. We are still eating. Things may look wrong. I want us to lift our voices and thank God. There's cause to thank God, brothers. There's cause to thank God, sisters. There's cause to lift our voices into the heavens and say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. If we were not born again, how would we have been able to go through the trials that we are going through? Is it not because of salvation that we are better equipped to face the tragedies of life, to face the challenges of life, the discouragement of life? There are those who are not even saved, who can't, they don't have the resources that are at our disposal. And even then, many times, we ignore the resources and shift to complain. And then God has mercy, He shows mercy, and raises up men and women and says, pray for this fellow before I destroy him. Intercede for this fellow before I cut this fellowship. Brothers, we have more time. There's no basis why we should not be forever thankful to God. No basis anywhere on earth. We are not better than others. We are not different from them. In fact, sometimes we are even worse than those who face the tragedies of life. Those who don't get a chance to repent and they just die. Those who don't get an opportunity to turn back from their backsliding and they just die. There are those whose eyes have been covered by the devil and there's no opportunity for their eyes to be opened, but our own eyes are open. There are challenges of life that happen to men. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can run to and we find succor. We have a place, we have places of worship open freely in this country. There are nations where they worship in hiding. They can't even clap
or sing, lest they be found out to be worshipping God. And yet, they have better spiritual experiences than many of us. And we are still alive. We are still standing in God. Many have called the name of God in vain, whilst committing sin, whilst lying. They say, I'm not lying. I'm a child of God, I'm not lying. And yet they are lying. And God has not killed them yet. We're not better than others. We're not different. In fact, many times we are worse off. One of the things that worse. Our God has remained faithful. Like the Bible says, even when we are faithless, He cannot deny Himself. He remains faithful. He remains faithful. He remains faithful. Even when we deny Him out of our frustration, when we become discouraged, our God remains faithful. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Let us say yes, amen.